Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hey, everybody, it's Marnie. Welcome back, and we are excited to have a great training program for you today, how to prepare for a media interview. And, of course, our guest is going to be interviewed as a media guest here, but she's also going to be sharing some strategies to help you prepare for your next media interview, and she's the perfect person to do it. Excited that you are with us today. I'm going to introduce our guest today is Linda Goldfarb. She is a national speaker and author. She's herself a radio show and TV show host. She's a columnist, freelance writer, professional actress and MC, certified personal trainer or personality trainer, and a fitness specialist. She's a class seminar trainer and faculty member, and she's my good friend. I welcome you, Linda, to today's show.
Thank you so much, Marnie. It is wonderful to be here with you. Great to hear your voice. Your enthusiasm is contagious. I can't wait to see what God's going to bring in this hour.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things that you and I have in common is that we host radio shows. And when we're booking guests and when we're getting ready for shows, we're looking for people who have the right topic. So that's number one, is to have people have the right topic. But then beyond that, there's some other things that are really important to us. When we book a guest, when I booked you, Linda, I had several criteria in my mind for what I needed for you to do today. And what we're going to do during this hour is we're going to outline that for somebody who's maybe never been a media guest, or maybe you were a media guest at one point and you just, it didn't go very well. And you're like, I never want to have that happen again. And I don't really know what I did wrong, but I know that it didn't go as well as I wanted it to, or how I maybe expected or thought it might go. So we're going to kind of go through some stuff. And you guys, I want you to know too that Linda is the co-author of a great book called The Art of Powerful Promotion, The Art of the Interview. And that's available at Amazon. And our guest name is Linda Goldfarb. So Linda, let's go ahead, maybe tell me who your dream guest is on your show, and then I'll do the same for this show. Or do you want a second to think about that?
Give me a second.
Yeah.
And let me listen to you, and then I'll jam right in with that.
Okay. My dream guest is going to be someone who is already prepared to be on the show before they ever pitch me. So they're not going to pitch me ideas and then get ready. They're already going to be ready before they pitch me. So when they pitch our show and Max and I go through and say, you know, this is a good person or this person fits well, we're going to know that they fit well because they either already have a published book about it, about the topic they want to talk to about, or maybe they've written, you know, 100 blogs about it, or possibly they have been a speaker speaking on that topic for several years, so that when we look at their criteria, we see a person who's really ready to be on the air. And what that's going to show me is that's going to show me that no matter what question I ask them, either they're going to know the answer or else they're going to know how to find the answer, or else they're going to know enough to say, I don't know, but I can find the answer and get back to you. Now, what we don't want to do is have a guest on the air who's just prepared for this one day, and that's all they're going to think about the topic ever again. So that's my main criteria. And from there, the things that I add to it are energy. You mentioned my energy, and radio is a unique creature in that way, isn't it? You're carrying the whole conversation with your energy, with your voice. They don't get to see your actions or any, you know, PowerPoint slides or anything. It's your voice. And if you have a very slow, humdrum presentation style, people are going to leave the show. They can't handle that. So we need somebody who's upbeat, energetic, who knows their topic very well, like inside out. And then also someone who can speak in sound bites. And what I just gave you was not a sound bite. That was a long answer. But you'll hear us give some sound bites during this hour, which is short, busy answers that are memorable, things that people say and they stick in your head and you say it over and over and over to yourself later. So, Linda, who's your perfect guest?
Thank you very much. I will take your guests anytime. It really is what you hit on is absolutely where I go. I need to know that my guest is focused, but it's not a single time focus, that they're passionate about their topic, that they're an expert on their topic, as you said, that they've lived it, they're riding on it, they're experiencing it day to day, so that it's fresh. I really love the element of bringing in current events into, even if I have a radio show that's, and a lot of times I'll book mine, I'm 3, 4, 5 months out, I'm booking a show, and when I have a guest that's on, what I love is when that guest will email me and say, hey, Linda, I know I'm going to be on. Hey, this is what's going on right now in the economy, or dealing with parents, or dealing with women. Can we add this in? I am saying, oh, I can't wait for this. So absolutely, that's what I want, someone who's very familiar with the topic and it is fresh on their mind. And exactly as you said, one of the things that I have done, Marnie, is when we would book a guest, I would contact the guest to hear their voice. I wanted to know the voice, if I was not familiar already with a particular author, speaker, expert, I would call and I'd say, just have a little conversation, because then I'd know what I was up against or how to prepare for that particular program, because pace can be a turnoff immediately. As you said, on the radio, they're either really excited about being there with you, or they're like going, is the point ever going to be made? So you're my guest is your guest.
Right. Yeah. It is just so important. I think the critical thing before you start pitching radio shows, though, is that you really prepare yourself as if you've done already 10, 15 of them. Try to envision yourself pitching the radio show you're going to pitch now, and you've already done 10, 15. So you already know you have to be energetic. You already know your topic inside out. You already know what questions people want answered. You already know to be there on time or early. You know to be prepared in advance of even contacting us with talk points that you're going to share with us. So we're going to go all through all this in much more detail in a few minutes. Let's go ahead and shift gears just a little bit.
All right.
Back to the value of even doing a media interview at all. I have so many guests who miss the value of the interview. So the value, there's so many angles to this thing.
Yes.
First of all, you have, like right now, you and I, Linda, right now, if you did not do anything else except just show up, you have the value of speaking to my live audience right now, and because we archive these and people can listen to them later, either for free at iTunes or in the membership zone, you actually have the huge value of being introduced to my whole audience as my guest. So that's value number one. And that's a huge value. Have you ever done the numbers, Linda? I've seen them done before on how much that's actually worth on like an hour show or even a 5-minute interview.
Well, I know I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know it's very similar to being on the front cover of a newspaper in color, especially if you have a color photo or a color segment, or you're above the fold on a newspaper. When we look at coming on to a show like yours that has a high listenership, we'll consider what the Barna research has showed, that there's 141 million Americans that listen to Christian radio every month, and 45% of Americans tune into Christian TV, radio. And so we know that people are out there seeking information, and this is a viable source. And they haven't even, the numbers that I quoted, that doesn't even mention online radio, which is worldwide. So you have such a far, far more reaching. Dollar-wise, I don't know. This one to me would be a priceless, because I'm coming on your show. Right now, what you've said to your audience, Marnie, is that I have value. You have upped me. You have upped my value in the eyes of your audience, because they know you, they trust you, they value you, and they know you're not going to bring someone on that doesn't know their stuff.
Right, Right. And that's just one huge value all by itself, is just getting booked on the show. All of a sudden gives you credibility you didn't have a minute ago.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is, if you know, if you ever have paid for radio advertising, you know that depending on which market you're in, you're going to pay anywhere from $7 all the way up to lots of hundreds of dollars for a 30-second clip. Now you're going to take that here and you're going to times it by 60, because that's how many minutes we have. And then in addition to that, you're going to have more value than any commercial could ever have, because you're not a commercial. So people's filter, commercial filter, isn't on when they're listening to us right now, Linda. They're listening because we're actually, they know that we're not trying to sell them something. We're just trying to share information that's going to be helpful and useful to their life. So they don't have their commercial filter on. So, I mean, the dollar value of something like a media interview is huge. Which is why, if you guys are listening and you're pitching less than on-target ideas to a media rep or to a booker, they're going to be like, wow, don't waste my time.
That's right.
They can't. They just can't. They get really good pitches all the time. We get good pitches all the time. So because we get good pitches, we're able to be fussy about who we say yes to and who we say no to, and we're going to pick the people who've really done their homework and gotten ready to do the media interview.
Absolutely. I know one of the key things that I look for, Marnie, when someone here's just a real quick freebie out there, folks. If you want to be interviewed by a radio program, television program, do not send them an email and tell them where they can buy your book. Okay? And this is for our self-pub people. I've had that happen.
Right.
Where I, you know, Marnie, you're the same way. I have received thousands and thousands of books, and I receive them free from publishers and from independent writers. And when someone sends me an email and says, Linda, you really need my book because it's the best one out there and you can get it on Amazon. And I'm like going, they are not prepared. They do not have a clue. And it doesn't even, I'm just, you know, you immediately go next. Because it's understanding the value that they're receiving, which they think that their value is in themselves, and that's not how it works, especially on radio.
I still remember not too long ago, we booked somebody and asked for the book, and they sent us an invoice. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, no.
It's like,
oh,
okay.
My goodness.
Okay, so guys, if you aren't aware of this, when you're working with media, what's typical, what's normal, is either to pre-send a book to Linda or I or whoever you're trying to get on their show. You pre-send the book, and then you make the call and see if they want to interview you. Or if you want to do it a more frugal way, you can make the call first and then send the book. But once again, we just talked about the value of the interview. And when you as an author say, okay, so you're going to give me, you know, all these $1,000 worth of free publicity right now, could you please send me $20 for the book? You in your mind, you've got, there's a disconnect there that you just have to fix that in your mind and say, this is so worth $20.
Correct.
This is so worth it.
Correct.
So you just don't go there. Well, let's talk about some other value of the media interview. One of them we talked about was the instant credibility that you get. Okay, if you're going to be on my show, but let's say now that you're going to be booked by, you know, ABC or, you know, a big USA Today or a morning show or something that's national. Now, the instant notoriety that you get there is very important. And what's beautiful, if you know it, and most people don't understand this, is that we as a culture, we embrace things that are coming up instead of things that have been in the past. So
yes.
Even though it's important to you to leave it on your website and to mention it after the fact, it's more important for you to mention it before the fact, to tell your social networks, to get out there and be doing. We're talking about some of this again in a few minutes. But the value, there's so much value. When you're thinking of value, Linda, is anything else jump into your mind?
Well, there is. I'm really understanding the value of your media interview, the purpose of the interview. And I think this is key, is not to sell your book.
Right.
It's not to sell. It's you are receiving an opportunity to communicate your message and to change a life or to make a difference in the life of someone else. And that is a priceless return on your investment of time. It again raises the value of the interview itself when you know that what you are speaking is going out into the masses and speaking into the lives of so many and can make an incredible and, for in some cases, eternal change and difference in a life. That, to me, is a lot of value.
Right. Now, one thing that you just said that triggers something for me is that you've written the book. It's an e-book over a Kindle book or whatever, and it's called The Art of Powerful Promotion. Now, there is no possible way, from my perspective, that you could communicate everything in your book to my audience in 1 hour, even if I let you talk straight. Is that true?
That is absolutely correct.
So then there's really no need for you to sell your book because
No. We're
going to have to, by nature of the beast, we're going to have to leave some things uncovered here, right?
There's no way to do justice and to give enough. I want your listeners, Marnie, to walk away today. If they never purchase my book, I still want to make an impact in their life, and I want them to have several aha moments where they
right.
go, I can do that, I can do that, I can do that. And if I give them that and they find weight and value to it, then they'll go out and they'll get the book. And if that's what they want to do, then that's how it works.
Great,
but
right.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah, and I love that. And there's one more piece of value that was coming to my mind here while I was listening to you, too, was after a media interview like this one, for example, you will have access to the archive, to the audio recording. And you can put that on your website, or you could send that to a meeting planner or to a different show host and say, here's how I sound so that Linda doesn't have to call you at home and hear your voice. You know, I mean, it just makes
very good.
It just makes it easier for everybody. Okay, well, let's go ahead and keep going here. You're so fun to talk to, Linda. I could just talk to you all day long at this speed, and we would just never run out of things to say. So there are some times where you get invited for a media interview, and you just think, you know, I love media interviews, and I really want to be on the air, and I really want the publicity, but I'm not sure. Can you talk to us about when you should actually say no?
Well, I appreciate that. It's one of the concepts that Kim Garrison and I, Kim is my co-author of the book, and she's a previously publicist out of California. And it's one of the things that we discussed so many times. She represented individuals, so she knew how to double-check either the radio station, television station, whoever was wanting to interview her, to look at their background, to look at their agenda, so to speak. But if you are new to this arena of interview, or if you are a self-published individual, there's things you need to understand that some people, some radio talk show hosts, have a slant to their programming. And especially if you present yourself as a Christian speaker, as a Christian author. And what we always tell them is you need to understand discernment comes from the Spirit. And if there's something that you're just not feeling right, you need to say, well, what's going on with the station? Let me find out a little bit more about the host. And listen to some of their archive shows. It's one of the best ways for you to understand how they approach their guests. Some of them just get on a bent, and all they want to do is attack. And your message will never get out. It will just be something where you're actually more confused or intimidated, and you don't need to deal with that. Don't be so hungry as an artist, as an author, as a speaker, that you say, oh, if anyone wants to interview me, I want to be interviewed by them. You need to weigh it. You have value. Who is your audience? That's one of the key things. You don't want to be on a radio program or a television program where their audience is not the audience that you're wanting to speak to. And it's really almost, I don't want to say that it's a waste of time, but sometimes it could be more than that. It could be detrimental to you. And people can take sound bites of you going, because you're totally thrown off by the host and their questions, and it can be very, very discouraging. And if that happens to be the first interview that you do, it will cause you to shy away from interviews, and that will totally deflate your future progress in this area. So you have to be very, very, very careful.
And I think on the balancing side, just so that you know, you don't always have to say no if it doesn't look like a perfect fit at first. I remember there's one show that I was on early on, and the interview topic right before me was so crude and lewd, and just it was I was on hold listening, going, oh my goodness, I should follow this. And I was just praying as I was sitting there listening. I was just praying, God, I just pray that you just turn this right around. And it was interesting because, of course, coming off of that kind of an interview, they were a little, in your face, and they were looking for something to, you know, to pick at.
Yes.
And what was interesting was that there's a verse in the Bible that talks about let your good works be the testimony before men for you. And early on in the conversation, very early on in the conversation, they said something about something that I had done that in their perspective was a good work. And they said, you really did that? And I said, yeah, for 10 years I did that. And they just couldn't believe that. And they turned their whole attitude and their tone of voice lifted up and was positive. And, you know, so just because a program before or after yours isn't just like yours doesn't mean to rule it out. But I love what you said about listening to your heart. If you are a believer in Christ and have the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you directly, he will help you to know when to say yes and when to say no. If you have a red flag going on, really pay attention to that. And even if you're not a believer, you have what God's given you as an intuition. You have a fifth sense about you that you can kind of, there's a red flag there, and don't just run over that for the sake of the publicity, because it doesn't pay off in the end. So
absolutely,
that's great. Let's talk about the value of a sound bite, and I'm going to let you think a second, Linda, of a couple sound bites that you use. I'm going to give you a couple sound bites that I use, and a sound bite is something that's very short, it's very poignant, it's memorable, and it might be life-changing for somebody. So here's one of them that I love to say. It's related to the topic of time management and the ability to say yes and the ability to say no at the right time. And the catchphrase or the sound bite is, every time you say yes to something, you have in effect said no to something else. And every time you say no to someone or something, you have in effect said yes to something else. So someone in your face, I'm just going to explain it now, someone in your face comes and asks you to do something. And right there you have the pressure of saying yes to that person. But when you say yes to them, you are going to say no to whatever you would have done with the resources, whether it's time or money or focus or attention or whatever it is, energy. You're going to say no to what you would have done with those minutes or those resources if you hadn't said yes to that person. So that enables a person to say no more readily, because they realize they're really saying yes to maybe to their child or their spouse or to a project that needs their attention or whatever. And it allows them to say yes, because in doing so, they have said yes to what they really wanted to do. So that's one soundbite that came to mind right away for me. Do you have one off the top of your head?
Well, I think of sound bites in such different phrases. I think of or in different terms. I think of sound bites as if I'm introducing myself and saying this is what I do, then mine basically, if I want people to remember what I do and where I'm at currently in my life, I would say I'm a relational transition coach. I help women and parents who desire the best out of their relationships by offering them hope and possibility when life changes. And that kind of gives me a premise of keeping my focus on myself. But I know that I say so many of the sound bites like what you're saying. To me, it's kind of like a life lesson. It's kind
right.
of like a
right.
genetics are your tendency, but they're not your destiny. And I say that a lot to individuals who will say, well, but my mom did this and my family's always done this. And I'd look at them and I go, understand, genetics may be your tendency, but they're not your destiny. You can change if you desire change. And that's one that I frequent a lot. And it turns kind of gives an aha in the eyes of the individual where they're like, I never considered that.
That's a perfect illustration of a soundbite there, because you're going to want to think of a soundbite as something that is quotable, that some, you know, this is going to be the one that shows up at those quotes, you know, online. You can look up quotes about, you know, your heritage or your genetics or your future or your excuses or your success or whatever word you're going to put in. And then they'll pull up quotes from people, you know, from Henry Ford and from Thomas Edison. And then, you know, some people in our day and age already have their names in these quotes, quote sites, because they are prolific with sound bites. They're sound bites. They're things that are so poignant. They've thought about how to craft it in such a way that it's memorable and it is on a topic that is of import to people. So say yours one more time, Linda, that one that you gave us at the end there.
Genetics are our tendency, but they're not our destiny.
Yeah, beautiful. That's just a perfect illustration of a soundbite. So what you want to do is before you get on a radio show or you start doing media interviews, whether it's print or TV or whatever, you want to really look at your topic and you want to say, do I have any in here? And if you've written a book, a lot of times the sound bites will be the little, what are they called, Linda, when it's a pop-out box? There's a name for those.
Well, it's almost like an aside. It's a little,
yeah.
There's
a name for it.
That morning. Yes, there is. It's on the side.
I can't think
it's on
of
the little sidebar. It's like a sidebar.
Right. Yeah, and these pop-up things, what they do is the editors will go through your book and they'll pick the most poignant phrases that are going to catch someone's attention and say, wow, I got to read about that, you know, just as they're flipping through the book in the store or whatever. And you want to have some of these ready to go, just that you always say. And that's the beauty of it, is that you really don't have to practice it. What you do is that you have to recognize that you're always saying that. It's important. That's why you keep saying it.
And one of the things that I do, Marnie, I'm going to talk about Facebook for just a second, because I use Facebook as a networking,
yep,
and kind of speaking truth into the people that I connect with on there. It's not so much for me a social or family oriented. I go out and I'll use different quotes or I'll use scripture references. And one of the ones, and I do exactly what you're saying. I try to put something out there every single day, and like I have from Richard Blackaby in The Inspired Leader, he wrote, as a business leader today, are you satisfied, as most of the leaders in Israel's history, to merely mind your own business, or will you allow God to use your life and influence to bring the high places of your day crashing down? So I put what you mentioned as a soundbite underneath it, and what I wrote was, unchallenged high places, in quotes, wrongly influence today's generation. And you get a response off of that. People,
yeah,
are like, whoa,
right,
I didn't think about that. And so, it's, as you said, if you incorporate that in your writing, which most people do, and it's in your daily thinking, then it's going to come out because it's on the subject that you're passionate about.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's so much value in these sound bites, because they are a collection of so many concepts narrowed down and fine-tuned down to the smallest possible point in time. And so they're very memorable, they're very impactful, and people do appreciate them, like you said. That's so true. Well, we're going to move right on now to some things that you need to do in advance of an interview. And, Linda, I'm going to let you go ahead and take us away on this one and go down, maybe go down three or four of them in a row, and then we'll chat a minute.
All right. Sounds so good. And I would tell you, just thank you again, Marnie, for allowing me to come on. I know that this is a subject you are very familiar with, and you're allowing me to be with you today is just what it does for me. Is it says, you know what, Marnie is a woman of integrity, and her biggest concern is value brought to her audience, which is the same as I feel when I bring guests on my show. So thank you very, very much. Mm-hmm. So the things that we need to look at are the things that we need to do in advance of an interview. And as Marnie said in the book, The Art of the Interview, we do before, during, and after interview strategies. And so these are key elements, and I'm going to share some with you here. First, you need to prepare interview questions that zing. And so often I would receive interview questions that were written by the author before the book was even published. The publisher has it comes in. I read the book, and as I read the book and I look at the questions are very predictable. And, you know, it always starts, why did you write the book? Okay, I mean, that's like a obvious question, but for me, the zing is, how can I quickly connect you with my audience? My audience needs to know what's in it for me, and especially on the radio. They're not looking at your face that's beautiful or sunshiny or anything like that. They're hearing the countenance and the importance coming across in what you can give them in that moment. So what I would do is I would take interview questions, and I would reword them and reformat them, and I would find how can I hit a hot spot right off the top. I would use teasers immediately at the top of the hour, and then I would go into felt needs. Tie into current events, which we mentioned earlier. It's so very, very important. And then when you prepare interview questions that zing, you need to consider the different lengths of the interview. Don't just write up, 10 interview questions, hand that to an interviewer, and they're going to have you on for 5 minutes because they may not pick the questions that are going to be, that are going to take your audience where you want them to go. If you have 5 to 10 minutes, you're really only going to be able to make 1 or 2 points, and you have to have concise answers, but with emotion, so that the people are invited into your dialogue, into your communication with them. If you have a 30 or 60 minute, then you're going to be looking at maybe 4 to 5 points that you can cover well. Marnie, as you mentioned earlier, we have a book. We can't cover the whole book, but what are 4 or 5 points that we can really bring home to our audience? It's key. And when I look at questions that zing again, what I want everyone to know is the question that I answer is going to make a difference in the life of the listener. It's going to change them. They're going to say, wait, I don't want to turn that dial. What else are they going to say? Very, very important. The number two, which really should be number one, I tell everyone, reread your book. There are a lot of authors out there that have written a book, and maybe they wrote it a year ago or 2 years ago, and it's still timely, but they haven't reread it. As a radio host, I read your book, and so I may cover something in your book that touched my heart, that makes a difference to me. I know my audience. I know what they react to. And if I ask you a question about it and you say to me, what page is that on? Then that's kind of like, okay, I mean, I'll go there with you. I will never, ever make you feel or look bad. That is not my job. My job is to lift up my guests and to inform my audience. But as a guest, you want to be current with everything that you have. So you need to know your message. You need to know it. You need to know it. And then the third one, or one of them, would be create a cheat sheet with your key points. As I mentioned, if you're doing a 5 to 10 minute interview, then you're going to have 1 to 2 points. If you're doing a 30 to 60 minute interview, you're going to have 4 to 5 points. And Marnie, this is a this is something we can, I'll stop after I share this point. I'm part of class seminars. I'm one of their certified trainers, and we teach speakers, and we help them in their presentation style and in their presentation as a whole. One of the things that we teach is the peer method, P-I-E-R. You envision yourself as an individual who walks out on a pier over the ocean, and the ocean is your audience. So you're stepping out, and the P is your point. If you need to have at least 1 point if you're going to be speaking or sharing. And the I stands for instruction. You have to give instruction to your audience, or else they're just listening and they're going to walk away without an action step. And then you also have an example, which would be something of your own, make it personal, something, a reason why you're there speaking on it that makes you the expert. And then the references would be outside of yourself. You know, we used the Barna percentages earlier that says, you know, hey, this is 141 million Americans that listen to radio, or Christians that listen to this. And so it's not just us saying that there's value in a media interview. We know that there's value in a media interview. So using the peer, P-I-E-R, any order that you want to, after the point, instruction can come at any time. But those are some of the top ones that I have.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Now, one thing when you're talking, we're going to go back up to A again, was have interview questions that zing. And that one, what percentage do you think, I have a number in my head, what percentage do you think of the media questions that you get from an author or a person pitching your show, what percentage of them have, why did you write the book, or something equivalent to that question as one of their main questions in their talk points?
Oh, my goodness, 98%.
I know, all of them. Yeah, and it's like
first thing they say, and I'm like going, really, I'm not going to ask you that question.
You know, and it may come up, actually, it may come up during the interview at some point, but it certainly isn't going to be why people aren't going to change the channel. You know, they really don't care why you wrote the book or why you studied this until they understand how it's going to affect them in a positive way. So always start with the listener in mind. I just am so on that page. I was thinking, as you were saying that, I was thinking, if we could change one thing here today, that'd be an awesome thing to change, to have that not be the number one question we see.
Yes.
I love that you reminded us to write questions with zing, not just questions that are like ho-hum, but imagine yourself reading a headline of a paper or the headline of a newscast. What's going to grab your attention? It's not going to be girl goes to school. You know, it's going to be something that's really catchy, and that's what you need to be thinking of as you're writing your interview questions, which you're thinking now, oh, this sounds like so much work. It is work. That's right. So
it,
hosting a radio show
is
work.
It is.
Writing a book is work.
Everything about an interview involves work, but when you're working in your passion, it's enjoyable.
Right.
Because you refresh yourself on your topic. And when you get excited about your topic, you know that you're feeding value into the life of someone else. And I want to make sure that they don't walk away and miss, you know, the steak or the vegetables, you know. Dessert is always good, but you can't live off of it. So I want to make sure that there is some essence that they go, if I don't walk away with anything else, I'm going to make sure that my interview questions hit the mark every time. I've had so many authors that I have done this for over the years with my media coaching, and they're like, Linda, it has made a difference of night and day in my interviews, and they're much more confident because it's using their own voice. That's how they write. That's how they need to interview, is with their energy and their voice. So it's really a really good point.
Awesome. And then B and C, reread your book and create a cheat sheet. These are just critical, especially if you have multiple books. I have a cheat sheet it's on a 3x5 card size. It can go in my purse with me, in my briefcase. I have those with me on my book so that if I am without my book and being interviewed, at least I can remember some of the major statistics or, you know, quotes or whatever, so that I have those there. The other thing is your book itself. Do you do this, Linda? I have one copy of each of my books that I have highlighted, and I've got, you know, I've really marked them up so that I know where the key talk points are in those books. And whether I need to give a presentation without any advance notice or do an interview without any advance notice, if I grab that book, I'm ready to go. I can just step right out there and do a good job because I've highlighted the most important key points, which are going to get me going because I know the topic so well. And honestly, by the time you write a book, you had better know your topic well by the time you get that book written. Otherwise, you shouldn't have written it. Should have left it for somebody who knew the topic.
And the more often you speak on the topic, the more often you write on the topic, the more often you share the topic, you're going to get feedback. And this is one of the areas that I would ask individuals that I'm working with just people that would come up, hey, Linda, you know what's the most important thing? I said, well, have you spoken on this topic after you've written the book? And they said, oh, yes. I said, what are the two or three key things that everyone comes up and asks you about at the end of your talk? Do they say, gee, I wish you had spoken more about this, or can you tell me more about this, or, you know, this was in here, but it really didn't click with me? I said, that is key. If something didn't click with your audience that you're speaking in front of, don't use it in an interview. But the things that do, don't think that you have to do 5 points. Do 2 points and do them well. And it will just be incredible for your audience.
I think another thing that's coming to mind, it's a little off topic but still of interest to the topic, when you get that kind of feedback, the thing to do with that is to identify, number one, is that something that I want to address ever? And then if it is something that you will want to address at some point, then you need to create the one sheet or the blog post or the article or however it is that you do add on information or maybe a second book if the topic is big enough. They're giving you incredibly valuable feedback when people ask you questions. And if you'll listen with a heart that's open to really hear and understand, there's all kinds of value there for you. Okay, what are some other things that someone should do before they do an interview, a media interview?
Okay, things in advance of an interview, find out first. How much time do you have? We talked about that a minute ago, to be prepared for that. Well, you're writing your interview questions for that, but it's really nice to know going in that if you think that you have a 30-minute interview and you get up there and they go, oh, no, this is just 5 minutes, that can throw you. So know ahead of time, and that can be done by emailing the host or their assistant, whoever is booking the show, and say, I just want to confirm. And I send out a confirmation, as you do the same thing, Marnie. I send out a confirmation, but a lot of times if I am a guest, I may send out another one and just saying, hey, I just want to make sure, and I'm calling in at this time. I also want to know, is it going to be live or is it going to be recorded? And does it stream online? And that's really important today. If it streams online, I want to tell everyone I know, this interview is streaming online. I'd love for you to come. And if I know with Blog Talk, we can have active chat rooms if we desire to have that. And if we do and we have someone who's monitoring the chat room and we have time for questions and answers, then we can invite our guests or our friends or a potential for myself. I do a lot of speaking at women's retreats and stuff. And so I may say, hey, listen in, and you're going to hear a little bit more about me and what I do. And so that really works well, and also to get a web address so that, as you mentioned, you can tell people ahead of time. You want people to know this is what's coming up. This is what's going on, not this is what happened before. So it's knowing ahead of time, very, very good. And then
Go ahead. You go.
Okay. And think about how you're going to share your message. Have that concept of, you know what, I really want them to get this particular point. I want them to know that this is, this is something that's applicable today, and sharing it. And when you do that, you have to know how much time you're going to have. You have to know if someone is going to be asking questions in between that's not necessarily on your list that you sent to your or to the radio host, which would be like in a chat room. And so you need, if the more you can be prepared for that, the easier the interview will go for you. And I think that's very important.
Awesome.
And then finally would be, or at least one of the final ones, would be don't let your emotions run the interview. And that, okay, you're laughing there, so I know you have experienced this. And sometimes someone may have written a book. They may have had an experience that's phenomenal. But if they're not healed or if they're not at a place where they can share without it being so painful or so, you know, when you're at that raw place, because then that can be a turnoff, especially for radio, and it's also your credibility kind of can go a little bit, especially if you're trying to share with someone a story and how they can persevere and how they can make it through, and then you're crying. And I'm not saying just weeping. I mean, because there's still points in my life that if I share them in front of a live audience or on the radio or on television, and I may have to take just a moment, but you need to know, can you speak on this topic without your emotions being the only thing that's hurt?
Right. Excellent. And I just agree with everything you said. A couple things, we're going to zip back, and then we're going to move right on to what you should do just before the interview. But time is a real interesting thing, and I've had so many guests who do not comprehend the tightness of a a media interview. You don't get to just, if somebody says a real short answer to you, don't think, oh, that would be 3 to 5 minutes. They're talking like, we got a commercial break in 30 seconds. Hustle it.
Yes.
And you really have to be aware of the medium in which you're being interviewed. If somebody's interviewing you over the phone for a print article and they say, I just have a couple minutes left, they mean, I just have a couple minutes left. But if it's on the radio or TV and they ask you to give a real short answer, they're talking seconds, not minutes.
Yes.
And
yes,
you just have to be real aware of that. Do you have anything else on the time thing?
On the time thing, it's, you have to be concise with your answers. You have to be able to take your answer, put it into a small enough phraseology that it makes the point whether they want to come back to it or not, or whether that's all the time that you have. And, yes, time is always of the essence. And, again, it goes back to the sound bite. If you can take every topic or every question that you're going to have and say, boom, 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 and there you go. If you want to have more, I'll talk to you about it when we get back.
Right.
That's always, it's always a great thing.
And take a breath.
Yes.
Some people just keep going.
Oh,
and, you know, you've got either a commercial break coming up or the end of the show coming up, and you can't even, you have to literally jump on top of the person and hold them down in order to say, okay, well, thanks so much for being here. And, you know, it's a terrible way to end a show. That's not at all how I want to end my shows.
No.
I want to end my shows with just a moment of gratitude to the guest and connecting with the audience and telling the audience how they can find out more about the guest. And if the guest goes on and uses up every spare second, that does not allow me to do that at all. And that makes me sad because I feel like everybody misses out in that scenario because there was, you know, two more sentences she wanted to say or something.
And another, and I will tie into that, and it is one of the things that I do discuss in the Art of the Interview, because I did, I had a veteran author, Christian author, interviewed, and she spoke so fast and so constant that I don't believe she breathed. And it was like it's what you said. It was like, well, if I stop, you're going to stop me. If I take a break, you're going to stop me. And here's one of the key things to know, all of y'all out there, you're tuning in because you love Marnie. If you don't hear Marnie every once in a while, that could be a tune-out factor. And as a guest, I respect Marnie. And I want to answer her questions that she's asked me. And if she says, you know, cover four things, I want to cover four things. If she says, make it quick, I want to make it quick because I want to turn it back over to her because she's the one who has brought you into my presence where I can speak into you. So I have to respect her. And every guest that does that, it heightens their opportunity of coming back. If you do not, I don't care how many books you have, I'm not going to have you back on the air because it's not good radio.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is it's just simply a win-win for the guest, whether you're the guest, Linda, or I'm the guest, or the listener now is the guest. It's a win-win when there simply isn't time to share every great thing I wanted to share with you, because what does that do then? If you liked me as a guest, you're going to go over to my website or you're going to check out my book. Or that's a win-win. You really can't lose on this deal unless you try to jam every last thing into that interview. And it wasn't built for that. It can't hold it. So you're going to blow it up. And that's a big one. That's a really big one.
Absolutely.
Okay, the other things you were talking about, I just can't overemphasize that the value, much of the value of your interview is going to happen before you say one word on the air or before your article hits the newspaper. It's going to happen as you get people ready for it. You have an audience of people around you who don't know very many people personally who get radio interviews or who get in the newspaper. Or, you know, most people's lives aren't that way. And so when you're going to be interviewed, that's a big deal for your friends, too. It's something to talk about at the water cooler. You know, my friend so-and-so just, you know, wrote a book and she's going to be on. And, you know, it's a word-of-mouth thing. And because they know you personally, you want to do them the honor of telling them that basically, okay, not as big as, but I'm having a baby. You know, I mean, who's the first to know? And who's the people in the know? Who are the ones that got to find out from you versus the ones who got to find out, you know, through the grapevine or, you know, they see it on Facebook on somebody else's page. So what you want to do is when you have something like this coming up, and it's true that if you do it all the time, it's different. But if this is an unusual situation for you or one of your first ones, make sure to tell people in advance and let them know how excited you are and that you know that they'll be excited for you. Do you agree, Linda, with that?
Absolutely. You know, God's word tells us that we are to be joyful with others when they're joyful. And there's not a more pleasant thing to do than to come along someone else and encourage them and be present for them. And so we actually deny others that opportunity,
right,
when they'll say, and you tell them afterwards, they go, well, I wanted to listen to you, or I would have been there for you. And what's also really good, and Marnie, I've had several people that have done this over the years. They have a book that's out. They have people that have written the book. They're really in close contact with a lot of these people. And when you're on a talk show and say you're taking callers that want to ask the person a question, they actually have some of their friends out there ready to make phone calls so they don't have dead air. And that is really a hoot to be able to have someone come on and say, I have read this book and I love this book and this is really great. And so they can, you know, be your cheerleaders for you.
Cheerleaders, right.
And I think it's very good.
Yeah. Yeah, I just can't overemphasize enough. And even if you're doing book signings or whatever you're doing,
Yes. Don't
wait until after the event to tell people, because after is old. We're all about new and fresh and different and what's hot right now. And, I mean, that's the culture we live in right now. So just hop on that bandwagon and say, okay, that's how it is right now, so that's how I can do it too. And it's really going to be a benefit to you. And again, like you said, you know, you're kind of cheating people if you don't do it. So do it, do it, do it.
Absolutely.
Okay, our last section here is what you should do immediately before you go on an interview. Now, I'm going to have Linda and I share with you right now kind of our pre-air maybe routine or ritual, whatever, to get ready to host a show. Now, when you're a guest, you don't have to go quite as elaborate as we do when we're hosting a show. But I did want to just spend a moment telling you that there are things that I do pretty consistently, not every single show, but consistently. I have signs that I have made up that say, no noise, in huge letters. And then underneath, live radio interview in progress. And those signs actually go, because I do my interviews from my home office, and so those signs go on the back door of my home, the front door of my home, and again on my office door, so that even if somebody makes it in, you know, people think, well, I'll just tiptoe in. You know, I'm sure they can answer one little question. No, you can't. So it's important for you to let people around you know, I need it silent for this interview. And I want you to remember that when you're doing a media interview, you're not talking to one person, even though, Linda, you and I are just talking to each other. But there's thousands of people listening in. And so it's not like it's just one person's time if you say, hang on for just a minute while you answer somebody's question. It's thousands of people are waiting for you to come back. And so it's critically
Absolutely.
Important that you take that seriously and you do everything in your power to make sure that you are in an environment that is quiet. I turn off all of my other bells and whistles and dings and dongs and all anything that might make a sound is turned completely off before I come on the air. And then finally, I prepare my body. I usually either stand up and punch the air several times with a big smile on my face, or I lift my hands straight up in the air and I worship that way, or in some physical way, I make sure that my body is at a high energy level before I go on the air. And I do that whether I'm on my own show or whether I'm going to be on a different show. Now, obviously, if I'm in the studio, I don't do that. But if I'm somewhere else on the phone, I can do that. Okay, Linda, your turn. What do you do?
I love it. I love it. No, this is great. I mean, I do very similar. Now, I'm blessed at this time to have an outside office, and I spent a lot of my interview years in a studio, in a local Christian studio here in San Antonio. I was on KSLR for quite a few years, and I went on to KKYX, and so I went into a studio. So that, you know, we're in a sound booth. They take care of that for you. Then when I went on to internet radio, onto Blog Talk, I also officed out of my home, and I did the same thing. The door was closed. There were signs. Everyone knew this is what's going on, and there has to be absolute silence. Because the smallest little distraction, especially on a radio, someone hears it, and it's like, you know, squirrel or something. They see something shiny, and it was, what was that? Did you hear something?
Yeah.
That was something different. And I could be passionate about what I'm saying, but if I have kids in the background or barking dogs or ticking clocks or other noises going on, my audience will key into that. And it's the same as for, you know, a guest on a show. If they're calling in from their home, they need to restrict that too. I also have water on hand for me. I make sure that it is not cold. I make sure that it's room temperature because cold water restricts your vocal cords. These are actually a few things that's for anybody, if you're a guest or if you're a host as well. And I look at if I have a cold of any kind, then what I also do is you can eat canned pineapple or drink orange juice because the acid clears the phlegm that's in there. Never, ever clear your throat on the air. You swallow. What you want to do is just have a deep swallowing, and that helps. Don't drink a lot of caffeine. I don't, because that kind of hypes you up, and it also restricts your vocal cords. So with me, it's going to be just regular water. Have it available. Have a quiet room. I do the I pray before going on the air. I pray as a guest before even making my phone call, because I don't know if I'll have time to do that with the host or not. And I also, when I have guests on, I will pray with my guests before we go on the air. And if they are very prompt and call in with enough advance notice, sometimes that doesn't happen, but if they do that, then also make sure all of your, if you're using the landline and you have call forwarding, make sure all of that is turned off. I don't use that hosting my programs. So for me, my phone lines are nice and clear. And I think that's kind of what I do for myself. I kind of center myself, make sure everything is within reach of my hands, go through my little checklist of knowing that I've got everything that I need for my interview, and pray and carry through.
Great, great. Another thing I was thinking out is be early. The worst thing you can do is rush into a situation. And there are going to come times when you can't help it. I mean, I've done some of these interviews driving a car, and I've had guests who had to be driving a car. I had one guest, this poor guest, she's driving her car. She realizes her cell phone is going dead. And by the way, I don't recommend using a cell phone, but she had just gotten trapped. It wasn't her intention, but it's how it went down. She got trapped. She was in her car trying to get home to her landline. She ended up realizing her phone's going to die before the interview's over. She whips into a library during a break. When I was talking, she asked the library, is there a phone here I can use? She gets back in on that phone. They put her in the corner. The only place there was a phone that she could use was in the corner in the children's section, and she had a child who thought she was amusing, and he was running his trucks over her legs the whole time during her interview. And when she told me this after the interview, I was so amazed because I couldn't hear that at all. She came, she contained herself. She was so on track. It was just a beautiful interview. And I just want you to know that sometimes stuff like that's going to go and it's going to happen, and you just do the best you can and don't let anybody know what's going on. Just make it through it the best you can. But you're not going to set it up that way for yourself. You're going to set it up so that it's an enjoyable, peaceful, wonderful conversation while you're having the interview. Anything else that people should do right before the interview, Linda?
Well, I have the 10 to 15 minutes before doing an interview to gather your thoughts, as you said, and also to quiet your heart, because then it lowers your heart rate. And you had mentioned, you know, kind of raising your arms and stuff. I like the deep breathing, stretching, just to calm yourself, to calm your nerves, making sure that you have a copy of your book flagged. I like it flagged as well. And notes about the station and the interviewer. And here's a key thing, folks. Remember the name of your host. Write it down someplace. And if you know where the host lives or where their host station is out of, that's a good thing to have written down as well, because then, especially if you do multiple interviews, you want to make sure that you're saying the correct name of the correct person that you're there with.
Right.
And quiet your thoughts with Scripture as followers of Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that we can do. And, you know, Philippians 4:13, especially when you're going on an interview with your first one, for I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is something that, again, we're putting everything in our favor. Everything that you can, whatever is controllable, control it. This is immediately before the interview. And there's so many more that are being done out of our home, out of a quiet spot in the house. Make sure you're comfortable and you have all of your materials in front of you within reach, and your interview will be blessed.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Linda. You have just shared with us a treasure trove of information, and you guys got to go check her out at lindagoldfarb.com. It's Linda Goldfarb, gold like the gold nuggets, and then Farb, F-A-R-B.com. Linda, so grateful for your friendship and for your expertise here today.
Thank you so much, Marnie. God bless you, and just anointing all that you're doing. You reach so many lives, and you empower us, and I thank you for that. Thank you for making that choice.
Well, thanks for being here, and thank you for being here today. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope that you will listen again to the archive and share this with friends, how to prepare for a media interview with Linda Goldfarb. This is Marnie Svedberg, and we'll see you again next time. Bye-bye.